just very quickly as a kind of afterword of what we learned last week, the last 2 weeks, about Lama Shinin, I came across a child's tshuva was called Mavasa. Called Mavasa was somebody called Meshulam Roth. Meshulam Roth was a very unusual rabbi, from what I understand. He was somebody who was very much around in Israel in the beginning of the state. One of the few Shiras and Tshuvas that was actually, how should we say, in certain yeshivas, there were certain Tshuvas which were pulled out. I don't know if you know what I mean, but if you
look at
pulled out, meaning that they were too controversial. He encourages the saying of Halal on Yom HaTzmur. He actually allowed it. He made a very big thing about it. He was one of the sort of Haredi Lumi, if I understand, if I'm correct about that.
He is no longer Nazi moral.
No, definitely not. He was very much into that type of approach, and I always remember in certain yeshivas there were certain bits which were always censored, and his was one of the tshuvas that was always pulled out of the book. And this is the way that people deal with it. If you pull it out, it doesn't exist, right? It's a bit like Reb Zevin's books. Reb Zevin also writes. Reb Zevin writes. This guy's going to be shouting again and asking to move. Just moves a bit further back and we won't hear each other. Probably going to make it. Yeah. Okay. The Zevin also, in his Modin Balacha, very, very, very well known, he talks about, in the Arba Tzomot, he talks about the state of Israel, and he makes a comment, Ashreinu Shezochinu, happy are we with Zochah, and that was always obliterated by certain groups of people who didn't really, follow that particular line of reasoning, and it's always very sad. Meshulam Roth has got a very interesting collection of tshuvas, apart from his Halal Yom HaTzmur, which is a famous one. And here he talks about the whole question of hating the sin, not the sinner, which is something that we've spoken about. Without going through the first paragraph, which you can look at in your own time, I just want to just do the second paragraph. And basically, what he's saying is that when the Torah says, Lo sisna sechicha b'uvavecha, you're not supposed to hate your brother in your heart, right? That is an important concept, that the idea is that even though the Torah talks about a sone, somebody who, that there is a mitzvah to hate, and this is what we've been talking about in terms of the bracha of Lamal Shinim, he makes a very strong point to say that what we're supposed to hate is what the person represents, but not the person himself or herself. All right, we've said this all the way along. But he points out here something very interesting. He says, the second paragraph, and I just really want to run through this very briefly, we started off with, right? Is there anyone who knows how to make this bracha, put it into order? Shmuel HaKotan did it, and he made the bracha, established the bracha. He says you need to understand. What's so unique about this bracha that you needed somebody to come along and specially make the blessing, right? Especially composing. This is full of curses, very sharp curses to our enemies. The Oyvei Hashem, and the enemies of God. It's very important. It needs extra kavona, machshava tahara, and a pure machshava, shelo tehei morevis b'shum pniat tzadis. No side issues whatsoever. You shouldn't say it with a kind of political agenda. You should say it purely because you hate what that person stands for, okay, and not necessarily the person themselves. Letzarech atzmeinu, and it's got no agenda for ourselves. Rak hakol l'shem shemaim. It should be totally for the sake of heaven. As David HaMelech says, and that's what he explained in the first paragraph. But derush lezeh, and we need to do this. Sha'ish ha'masakein ha'masadeh sa'brocha hazos. The man who makes this brocha, yitain esrucho aleh. He puts his spirit upon it. Hein shi'yadatek b'shmiras ha'bituyim, and therefore to be careful about the guarding of the expressions that he uses. Hanachonim u'matimim la'kavon hazos, which are fit for this kavana, for this intention. And we, the daveners who say it, our minds are very small. right? We live in a time of very small minds. This has been going on for a long time. So Sameches ala Kavana Shelo. We rely on his Kavana, Shmuel HaKatan, who made the bracha in the first place. Kamosha Katvo HaKadmonim, as the Rishonim say. V'anu Regilin Mispalo B'shas Kiyum Eze Mitzvah Shetehei Chashuva. A lot of people do this. When they finish a mitzvah, they say it should be considered Ki'ilu Kivanti B'chol HaKavonas. Usually do it before the mitzvah. B'shem Yichud Kutcha Brichu. Alright, a lot of people say that before doing a mitzvah. The idea is that when you're doing the mitzvah, it should have within it all the kavanas, all the intentions, shekivnu anshe knesset gedola, which the men of the great assembly put into it. Even though we don't know most of what they say, alright, we know what they say, but we don't know most of what their reasons were. So again, what he's suggesting is that this bracha, we're very particular about who made it, for the simple reason that it's such a controversial bracha and it's so loaded with potential pitfalls for us, in the sense that we might introduce a personal agenda into this bracha, that we've got to be careful. The person who wrote it, the person who made it, has got to be 100% whiter than white. Ulechein bacharu Shmuel HaKotan. That's why they chose Shmuel HaKotan. Shenoda b'mamara b'sechas Ovis. He's the one who says in Pirkei Ovis, Perek Dala, Mishnah Yotes, this is great. Shmuel HaKotan Omer, what was his famous statement? B'nefol oivecha al tisma. He's the one who says that. Do not rejoice in the falling of your enemy. So he's the one who can write with Lama Shinim. It's a phenomenal thing, right? He's the one who says that he brings this bracha, which is essentially a klala, on those people, because he understands that this is not about the person, but it's much more about what that person represents. And I think that's really, really important. I have to say, living in Israel, I don't know whether it was happening in your time, the Ramat Road business on Shabbos, and the people were throwing stones at cars. And it was outrageous what was going on, because the guys who were throwing stones and we lived there for 9 months, Sanhedrin Mochevin. I watched this one Shabbos, I couldn't believe it. There was guys coming down from Eish HaAretz, right? And to me, it was exactly what he's talking about here. It was exactly what they weren't doing. What they were doing was introducing an animosity. They were claiming it was for the sake of Shabbos. They couldn't stand the Shabbos being desecrated. Apart from the fact the stones were mixed,
breaking
the windows of the cars, and more to the point, you were breaking that person's connection to Yiddishkeit. And that's something that these guys didn't understand. We have a story, somebody who was stoned in a car like that on Shabbos. And he was on the edge, and he became anti. He was so anti. And he came from a religious background. He came from a home which was Shomer Shabbos. But over the years, I don't know, whatever, he was a dentist, we knew him. And he said that what turned me off Yiddishkeit was that stone that went through my window on a Shabbos afternoon. And I don't blame him. I had no complaints for him. I thought it was a terrible thing that happened to him. And this is what we're saying over him. And again, I just want to bring this, just as a quote, it's so interesting that one has to be so careful when you, in terms of invective. All right, we're very quick to criticize, very quick to be judgmental, in the sense that, you know, we almost get to the point where we invent expressions to describe people who don't agree with our particular point of view. And this is what we're saying there. Got to be so careful about it.
No, you here you're saying something different. Here you're saying you shouldn't pick out an individual, but you should be opposed to the group. Today we say the black hatter is...
Well, we kind of label everybody.
We label everybody.
Yeah, which is also not good. The point which I'm saying is that the language we use has got to be so careful. Right, and if this language is unacceptable, which clearly it is, then we shouldn't use it. Because who had to write this bracha? One of the greatest tzaddikim ever lived, the man who can himself be, you know, could say about himself that he would never rejoice when an enemy would fall. All right, which is something which naturally one would do. One would be very happy if an enemy is, you know, kicks the bucket, as they say. And the fact is that this is Shmuel HaKotan. So it's clear that, you know, this bracha, even without all the business that we spoke about in terms of the censorship and everything else that's to do with it, the reality is that this bracha is still within our terms of reference, something which we've got to be very careful with, right? It's quite a dangerous item. We don't let it get out of control. We have a Shmuel HaKotan who controls it, okay, with all the expressions, and this is something that we've already gone into. And I think it was just important to see that, you know, I just came across this Dafka today, and it was something that caught my eye, because it really sort of puts a framework around the whole thing. This is something that I don't think we like doing this. We sometimes feel that we have to do it. Like last week we said it's about a molik, all right? The right at the end of the bracha. And if it's about a molik, then that certainly deserves our attention. But even there, we're not going to go to the extreme and to sort of curse them out every opportunity. We're just not like that. Right? We're just not, we don't do this stuff. We're too moral, right? And this is our problem. That's why I once heard somebody say that's the origins of anti-Semitism, that we introduced morality into the world, and the world hates us for it. All right? We brought the Ten Commandments down to the world. And sinah, right, is connected, Hirsch would connect it. It's not connected etymologically, that's the word, right? But the word that, I think, probably this is Hirsch's, he says Sinai and sinah. Right? Why do they hate us? Because of sinah. What happened at sinah? We brought morality into the world. We said it's wrong to kill. It's wrong to steal. They didn't want to be told that. The world did not want to hear that. The world wanted to have a kind of free agenda and decide, you know, when it's right, when it's wrong, but not to be told that there is a kind of morality in the world which they have to follow. And I think that's one of the sort of deeper reasons why we're hated for it. And it's an interesting thing. Put this again, this is just by the by, but I think it was so, it's such an interesting after comment of what we've been saying about La Mashimin that I just wanted to share that with you because it's very unusual. And again, you know, as I said at the bottom here, Shmuel HaKohen is the right person, totally focused and no self-interest. All right, halavai by us. we should all be zocher to look at the world like that. It's quite amazing. Any more than that, have a look at yourselves and you'll see this is a very nice piece. It's really a beautiful piece. In terms of the next bracha, one of the interesting things about Allah Tzadikim, we're going to move into that, is that it contains every letter of the alphabet. All right, the only bracha in the Amidah which contains every one of the Chaf Beis Osius. Okay. The reason for that, I suppose, is that symbolically, what have we got here? We've got a bracha which covers everybody. All right. Once we've done away with the Malshinim, then we're going to look positively, Tzadikim, Chasidim, Pleitet Sofreim, whatever these things are, and maybe, you know, as a kind of bracha klalit, a general bracha, we've got to include every letter of the alphabet in terms of this bracha, which is again an interesting ha'ara. The Rishonim bring that. And of course, it's kind of the flip side.
Paradox in
what we're saying. Yeah,
now, right? Yeah. It's easy, but single out. Go to the next page.
But we need it to kind of build ourselves up again. You know, we feel bad about La Mashinim, so we want to be positive. Let's look at the idea of reward, right? The idea of spirituality in a positive sense. Tzadikim, Chasidim, right? And it's an interesting thing. He says in the first line here, Ala tzadikim kavu bechas aminim eitzo bechas ala tzadikim. Why were the two brachas put together? Ki nisiyastu shneim al pasha achas. And this is again going to be very interesting. In the last bracha of Lamashini, we saw that the Pirush of Rav Avraham, what he does, Rav Avraham, the son of the Gro, makes a connection between the brachas and some psukim in Mishnah. And what he's done is that he's actually followed through and he's gone on to the next bunch of psukim. And I'll just read them to you and then you'll see them as they come up here. The psukim in Mishle go like this. One second, let's just see where it starts. Odom bliyav. Yes, sheish heino. It says, sheish heino sanei Hashem. Six things that God hates. All right, only six. That's an interesting thought. These are the top six. This is the final count. But v'sheva tavas nasha. The seventh is abomination to his soul. And there's something which tops that. All right, there's a seventh which really he can't stand. And here they are. Six things. Anayim Romas, right? This is like the list of Al-Khay. Anayim Romas. This is where the language comes from. Okay? So whatever that is. Anayim Romas, the idea of haughtiness, right? Your eyes always looking above people. Loshan Sheker, false Loshan, false expression, the way you're sort of telling lies or whatever. Yodayin Shokhus Damnoki, right? Hands which spill innocent blood, whatever that's referring to. You know, it could be literally, or it may have a metaphorical sort of idea. Leiv Choresh Machshavas Oven. The heart which is chorish, harisha, the digging. What are machshavas, the thoughts of oven, of iniquity or doing something wrong. Raglaim amaras lo tzara, or feet which run to do evil. All right, and they mamaharos, they hurry to do this. Yafiach kazovin. Yafiach means to literally to make a lot of air, hot air, of kazovin, which are full of lies. Eid shaker, to be a false witness. Umeshaleach medonim bein achim. This is an interesting one. He sends medonim, literally means
delicacies
bein achim, between brothers. Maybe he comes between them. He tries to butter up one against the other. He sets brother against brother. I think maybe he sets them up. And these are the things which we are now in this bracha. These psukim from Mishnah chapter 6 his bracha v'al tzadikim is actually going to list a whole bunch of people who are absolutely the opposite of these six things. We're now going to get six examples of people who counteract these six negatives. We're going to do six positives. All right? And you'll see how it fits in. And this is really very, very interesting. There is a progression. Is it progression upwards or downwards? I mean, you know, let's think about that for a second. You start off with what? You start off with the tzaddikim. And then you go to the chassidim. What do we normally say? Tzaddikim, however you translate tzaddik, tzedek, right? Somebody who's straight, righteous. Chassidim, people who go lifnim mishur tzaddik, beyond the letter of the law. Okay? And then you've got ziknei amcha beis Yisrael. That's the third stage. And is that higher or is that parallel? It's an interesting question. And then Platus Sofrehim, the remnant of the scholars. Who are those guys? What is that all about? Right? And then the Geirei HaTzedek, are they up there or are they down there? The Geirim, the true Geirim. And then finally, Olenu, all right, which is us. There's a wonderful comment in Tosfos. Now where is it? In Kiddushin, I think the third parak, where he talks about the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Geirim, true converts are like leprosy to Israel, Sapachas. The Gemara says that, which is not
here,
a very nice.
Here
it's higher. Great. So what does Tosfos do?
Higher,
certainly. So what does Tosfos do? Tosfos says, Rabbi Avraham Hager gives a pshat in the Gemara. He had to, because who else could do it, right? And what does he say? He says, why are they like sapachas? And it's so true. He says they're like leprosy because they make us look like leprosy, because they are so sincere. And this is so true. You meet a Ger, you know, you meet somebody who's chosen the BT thing, but it's more with Ger, they choose to be that. Wow, you know, there's no stopping them, there's no holding them back. And we look kind of pathetic in comparison.
We're the lepers.
Yeah, because it's out of rotzen, but it's interesting. Godol mitzuvah v'osev, ish enem mitzuvah. So the idea is, it's greater to be commanded than do it. In other words, however much one sees that, right, the nevertheless, it's the herigo from... Sorry?
He doesn't have the root.
That's true. There's
well,
clearly
the
a different
there.
The idea is though that he's got to the top with a lot. You know, he's taking the quick elevator as opposed to.
I don't even think it's grades.
Yeah.
It's just a different plateau.
It's a different.
Totally different
concept. Yeah. There's no question about it.
Because it's like what we talked about earlier by tzaddikim, there are no Yetzirah anymore.
Yeah.
There's no Yetzirah anymore.
Yeah.
But Balei Tshuva, they know what the Yetzirah is.
Yeah, and they've overcome it. There's some amazing responsa. Maybe I'll bring that along sometime. But Moshe Feinstein was asked some incredible questions with Balei Tshuva. I mean, you know, people who really wanted to change their lifestyles, and their lifestyles were particularly bad, you know, in religious terms. People like a guy who was living with another man, you know, he became religious. What does he do? Okay, this is the kind of response that Ramosha deals with. Right? And he's so encouraging and says, don't worry about all the frum stuff that's being thrown at you. He says, basically, just know you're doing something good by becoming more involved with your spiritual life. It's incredible stuff. So, again, back to the bracha. Again, how is this going to be seen? Is it going to be going up stages, down? I don't know. I'm not sure. Are we all on a line? Is this a timeline this way? Is it a line that way? You know, tzaddikim down to Aleinu. Oh, I presume that's the way I would see it.
Right?
This is all from Asher Knesset Gdola. This is the...
All of the brachas are.
Yeah, all the brachas. Shmuel HaKotan is the exception, right? In the sense that he was Masada the bracha.
I don't think it's that he made up the bracha.
No,
He just reworded it. In fact, I think perhaps they're talking, if you take a look at the Lashon of Gemara, it says Shema Pekuli Hizdir Yudches Brachos.
Right.
All 18 were just Mesuda. They were put in order. The 18 brachos were there from Anshei Knesset Hagdola, from Ezra Sofer. He just put them in order.
He put them in order, and then Shmuel HaKotan came along and
reworked the Lamalchinim,
which is called the 19th bracha, right? And again, we spoke about how you divide them up.
If you go back to it, Lamalchinim is really hooked up to Hashiva Shoftein.
Shiva Shoftein.
Because it says Villa Malshina.
Right. As opposed to Ala Tzadikim, which
right.
is separate. Although he's just said that he's putting them
separate.
Together.
And there's only a Vavachibor on two, two prophets, and being Yerushalayim is with the tzaddik.
Right. And everybody says Lamoshina, says they do.
Vilamoshina is universal.
Right. Hashiva Shofteinu, that once we get the idea of Mishpat returning, then Vilamoshina
is
the thing. Interesting.
Everything is by, I think what he's trying to say is every bracha is by itself.
Yeah, what's the reason to attend to the Lamoshina?
Because it's Chibur
to the one before, to Hashiva Shofteinu.
Once we have
the Mishpat, once we can meet out punishment to everybody, then we'll take care of the Moshe.
Then we take care of the Moshe. Yeah, well, it follows on. But he sees a connection between the Moshe and Allah Tzadikim, even without a Vav.
No, but he just says why it's near one another.
Right.
Smichos of the devil. But he's not saying that they're connected.
They're not connected. And there is clearly, I don't remember now where I saw this, but there is a thematic connection which they make between Vilam Moshe and Moshe.
You go from one extreme to
the other extreme. Let's go back to the Peirush for the moment, and let's see how he deals with it. So again, thinking about the terminology. So again, second line. Sh'amar Shlomo HaMelech Olav HaShalom. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishnah, Adam B'liyal, and that's the bit where it starts, and he says, Sheish Heina Sonei Hashem, V'sheva To'avos Nafsho. Seventh is really despicable. All right? Einayim Romois, Loshen Shek, Yadayim Shechus Dom Noki, Leiv Charish Machshavos Oven, Raglayim Amaras Loretz Lera, Yafiach Kazovim Eid Sheker Mshalech Medonim Bein Achim. Period. That's the list of brachas, right? The list of psuki. Now, Neged Sheish, against these, or corresponding to these six, Heina Sonei Hashem, the ones that God hates, Tikein Birkas Amin. That is the blessing of the Mini. All right. Those are the six things that and again, how does that work? I'm not quite sure how it's the sheish, but we'll see. Maybe he explains that. It's not obviously six sections to that bracha.
There is six sections to this bracha, but the nusach Ashkenaz.
It's not there. Oh, that's right.
The nusach Svarad says it.
Yeah.
Sahakir Shabbos Samagir Sachalim.
Sachnim,
you've
got six
times. There's six times.
That's right.
Nusach Ari says it, Nusach Svarad says it.
Ashkenaz doesn't.
And Ashkenaz does, for whatever reason.
Now, interestingly, historically, I bet you there's a reason for it.
And the Nusach the Gra, the Nusach the Gra is very much like Nusach Ari.
Yeah.
So he probably had
the same Nusach. He had the Sheish. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Well, all right. Okay, so that's the six Sonei Hashem. Now, one second.
So you need Chassidim. You need...
Right. All right, I'm not going to get into this historical debate because I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. I know what he said.
Even the museum as well. We have his letters.
Yeah, he's...
You can actually see that.
You can see. And again, I suppose you try and play it down these days, but it's difficult to play it down.
Very hard to imagine the words coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. He was pretty extreme, but he saw it like a reform. I mean, as far as he was concerned, because this was about, you know, as bad as it gets.
Talmud Mavuk Reb Chaim made peace with the Chassidim.
He made peace, and he wrote Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
He
and the Rebbe, the Balatanya, were...
Yeah. Even the Gra had some sort of connection.
Right.
I don't know. These are very different times, I'm pleased to say. We got other issues. but at least that one I think is disappearing.
Alright,
let's see how he takes it further. Ubirchas atzadikim nitkan al bnei adam. So this refers to people hamarchikim atma misheva toivos nafsha, from seven toivos nafsha. So he understands that the sheish are referring to birchas aminim, the previous brach of the mashinim, and then the seven toivos nafsha are in fact not number seven, but seven things which are absolutely Tavos, where they are abominations. So what are they? Neged and I am Roman. To do with this haughty look that a person has. Choshav at tzadikim. He firstly refers to the tzadikim, right? They go against that. Shenema, because it says in Tehillim, and this is a printing error here. It's Lamed Zayin Ted Zayin. Tov ma'at l'tzadik mehamon rishoyim rabin. All right. It's good to have even a little bit for the tzadik. There are many. Rishoyim. What does that mean? Kizaros Rishoyim Tishabarna. Right? Meaning, Gam Imheim Rabin, Vagam shekolecha yesh lehamon ra. Even if the Rishayim have so many, their numbers are enormous, lo kein tzadik. Won't be thus with the tzadik. Gam shu yechidi, even if he's by himself, yesh lo ma'at, and he has so few people to be with, efes somech tzadikim Hashem. The difference is that the tzadik is supported by God. So this is the ala tzadikim. The tzadikim are the ones who can turn the tables even in small numbers, because they are supported. They have the chizuk, the strength from Hashem. The Chayin Ahmed says in Tehillim another pasuk, Yosem ereehu tzadik v'derech rishayim tita'im. Right? More than his neighbor is the tzadik, and the way of rishayim tita'im will lead astray. What does that mean? Pirush HaRashbam Zal B'chumash. The Rashbam says in Chumash. Alright, so clearly he's bringing from all over the place here. Shehu loshen derech ha'atarim. The word tita'im is you find in the expression in the pasuk derech ha'atarim. What does that mean? Kamo lo tatur. We just said in Shema, achrei levavachim. Right? You shouldn't go astray. V'hatzadik meragel v'choker derech mereyehu. What does the tzadik do? The tzadik goes into, he examines the ways of his neighbors. Umash bil atzmo neged kolonim. He makes himself lower in the eyes of man. Shadar kantov midarka. As far as he's concerned, their way is better than his. Right? That's the approach of the tzaddik. Basically, an approach of modesty, of humility. But derech rishayim yosho beinayim. The way of rishayim is straight in their eyes. Ba'avur sheinayim ramas, because their eyes are so elevated, so raised. The gavol, it means they're so haughty, they're so full of themselves. And the gavol libam al kol. And they are haughty above everybody. V'zoz t'ta'eim, and this will lead them astray, miderech ha'yishara, from the right path. L'chein, neged einayim romas chashav tzadikim. That's why he says that the tzadikim are the antidote to einayim romas. Because the tzadik will always be able to counteract people who look above everybody else, looking down on everybody else. I had a student once in London who lived in a Hasidic neighborhood and was not religious. And he walked around with an earring. Right? This is 15 years ago. I don't know if people were doing that already, but he was. And his neighbor, and he complained to me bitterly. He lived in the equivalent of Borough Park in London. And he said he had a Hasidic neighbor who used to come out every morning and Davka used to ignore him completely. And they knew the family was Jewish, right? They didn't know Tzira. They knew they saw some sort of Jewishness there. But so the kid wasn't conventional. He went to Jewish school. Right, but the neighbor was not talking to this kid on purpose, and clearly that was so missing the point. Right, this to me is what he's saying over here. Nine Ramas, you know, your eyes are so above it, you don't see the person underneath. You're always looking over their head, and you're missing that point. And he says that's not the tzaddik. The guy is the tzaddik who actually feels that he's below, that he's always looking up to other people. All right, these fabulous stories about the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, the Bari Levin. I didn't have this chus to me, but he was one of these guys. If you read the book, this is an amazing man. Right? He's an amazing man. And what was Tzidkus? Tzidkus was when he went to the doctor with his wife, he would say, not my wife's in pain, he would say, we're in pain. He would use the plural. Right? Famous story about him. We're in pain. Right? Unbelievable. This is a guy who used to visit the guys in the jail, in the Russian compound. Right? Negrasha Rusi. He used to go there every Shabbos. Who was he visiting? People who were not Shem and Shabbos. They were not Shem and Shabbos. They were the secular Zionists who were caught. Most of them were caught by the British, sentenced to who knows what. They were going to be killed. And when he walked into the jail, they would hide their cigarette out of respect for the man who'd walked from Machne Yehuda down the road, which in those days was quite a long walk. Still is, I suppose, but it's not, by our standards, not a long walk, but it's a long way. And he would come in Shabbos, and he was no youngster. And he did this every Shabbos to give them his... That's Tzidkus. That's the guy who's not a Naim Rama. The opposite. Right? You know, every human being is important in that person's eyes. There's a wonderful picture of Elie Lopian, one of the, again, a contemporary of Rabbi Levine. And Rebellion was feeding a cat. And there's a lot of shilas in the Shiva about, you know, this picture. There's a picture of the Rashi of Benigam giving a cat a bowl of milk. Right? It's a wonderful picture. But to me, it's just what it's all about. You know, why shouldn't the Rashi Shiva feed the cat? What's wrong with that? And they're questioning, you know, when was he doing it? How was he doing it? Why was he muscle terror? You know, all these sort of crazy questions that you get. And the answer is because he was feeding the cat. He had a cat.
Right.
And he made a production. And this is what happens with these things. And again, you know, the tzaddik is the guy who's so non-effacing. He doesn't look for the Einayim Ramos. And it's so true. And you can go on and on. I mean, stories and the Hasidic concept of tzaddik is where people kind of got upset because sometimes they did consider themselves above. But those were not usually the real thing. It's usually the Rebbe's zin. The son took over and he enjoyed all the trappings. All right, but the Rebbe himself usually wasn't like that. Traveling around in carriages and all the sort of stuff that they used to do in Poland. Rabbi Heschel in London, who was the brother of A.J. Heschel here, he told me that his grandfather was the king of Poland for one night. There's a whole story about this. And this was the connection in the family. When you hear these stories, you think, you know, wow, there's stuff that we just don't know. But I never got the full story out of him. I don't remember now, but this is Heschel's Yichus. Heschel comes from really unbelievable.
Was he the same bent as his brother?
Not at all. Not at all. Very much on the traditional side. I mean, he was the Yorish of the of. I mean, in fact, you've got his Oskomas and Sam Svarim, and it was. He happened to be also the choke of a rabbi, but he wasn't. He refused to take the job. Clean shaven, guy that you would walk past in the street and you wouldn't even know who he was. And he was the Yorish of the Rebbe's position. And he never took it up. But his son, who eventually had a couple of sons, married very late. And his kids really, really got into it and apparently did. One of them became the Rebbe. Has now the Hasidim Yerushalayim. Chodko. Chodko was something very famous. The Meir Shapira, when he opened the yeshiva, the Chokka Rebbe was one of the famous Rebbes who was with him at the time to open the yeshiva, supported him. One of the big Rebbes in Poland. If I've got it right, I mean, you've got to correct me.
I don't know.
You don't know this whole thing, Friedman. Friedman was the family name. All right, there was Friedman, there was Heschel, and there was a whole bunch of, they were all related, all cousins. Because the Hasidim, one thing they do is that they marry cousins to cousins all the time, which is a bit of a worry. But that's
all
the way they
do it.
In a sense, and certainly in Poland and Europe, there's a lot of that. And less so now, but that's why you have the Ashkenazi diseases.
Right.
The genetic diseases are, I think that's part of it. Anyway, all that to one side. Back to the tzaddikim. This to me is so true. The Einayim Roman, the tzaddikim, that's one thing they don't have. Now, further, the Neged Loshen Sheker, what about this, the second group, the people who speak false? Amar v'ana chassidim. What's the definition of the chassidim? All right. And without going into whatever you want to go into, ki hipuch sheker hu emes, right? Obvious thing to say. The opposite of sheker is truth, right? I like this sort of Hebraic tradition that sheker always has every letter comes down to one point, because if you write a shin the way it's in the Sefer Torah, it's got one leg, right?
And the
kuf also one leg, the resh is one leg. Emes has got two legs. Every letter,
well,
the aleph,
sheker
is no rug line, but it's literally in the words, in the letters of sheker. So again, hipuk sheker hu emes. What does that mean? He goes on. The chesed hu rea shel emes. So chesed is the friend, is the companion of truth. The shel emuna, and of faith. The harayas rabu milispo. There's so many proofs, it doesn't even have to go into it. Kamosha katur, but I'll give you a few. But rav chesed mi emes. We say this all the time. Right? Rav chesed and emes. Chesed and emes go together. What is the expression, in fact, in the Torah? Chesed... Vasise modi chesed the emes. One second. Is that, where is it? It's in Vayichi. Isn't there the expression chesed shel emes, which is the idea of the burial society, the Chevra Kedisha. Chesed shel emes. Al tikbereinu mitzrayim. It's in Vayichi. Vasise modi chesed the emes. Al not tikbereinu mitzrayim. Beginning of Vayichi. So there chesed and emes clearly goes together. All right. So let's see where he's going with this. He says like this: Rav Chesed the Emes. That's one example. Im Yashkim Osim Odi Chesed the Emes. Another pasuk. I didn't look up where the pasuk came from. Barachav, in the case of Rachav, who's the eventually becomes the wife of Yeshua, the famous Zonah, the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. What does she say? V'asinu Imcha Chesed the Emes. All right. And she uses the same expression. Asher lo azav chasto v'amita. Another pasuk. She says it to the Naragra. She becomes we said that in the first year. A lot of the language that she uses is incorporated into Alayna. It's most interesting. Alright? The language that she uses is the Odati Lashavosa Vechan, you know, this sort of language. And this is Racha. So, you know, we get it from everywhere. If we find it, something which is really coming from, it's like we said before, the Baal Tshuva, the idea that the woman is so convinced, not Baal Tshuva in this case, she's a convert. The Madrega is so high. Anyway, Emunasi v'chasti imi tehilim peitos. You can look it up there again. Emuna and chesed go together. What is this all about? The fi, he explains. Shehem, last three lines. Shehem shomim emet. Right? They guard the truth. Lechein Hashem raglei chasidov yishma. God will guard the feet of his pious ones. V'shomer nashos chasidov, and he guards the souls of his chasidim. Ulchein Omar David. David says in Tehillim, "Ba'kaver Shimcha ki tov neged chasidecha." All right, ki shemo shadakadosh baruch. What does that possibly mean? The name of God, Emes, is truth. Lechein ba'kaver Shimcha. I will hope in your name, shahu Emes, which is truth. Ki tov neged chasidecha, because it's good, corresponding to the chasidim hashomrim Emes olam. So the name of God protects the righteous. All right. And therefore, going back to what we said before, the Loshon Sheker, the people who speak falsely, who counteracts that? The Hasidim. Alright? And the idea of Chosid here is somebody who is a man of truth, not the normal definition of Chosid. It's interesting. So the Pasuk in Mishlei corresponds, the Loshon Sheker, which is the negative, the Toiva, the abomination, the antidote is the Chosid, the guy who speaks the language of truth. Chesed ve'emes. That's why it's called Chosid. Chesed, kindness goes together with truth. Number three, Neged Yadayim Shov Chosdam. What is that? Well, who is that guy? And let's go over and you'll see here. This is unbelievable. It's totally unbelievable. It's a long piece here, but it's Kedai. All right, it looks very long, but it really is Kedai. Omar, it says, Val Zikne Amcha Beis Yisrael. This refers to the elders of Beis Yisrael. Who are they? Kamosha Kosev. It says in Devarim, V'chol Zikne Ha'ir Ha'im. Right, there is referring to the elders of the city, talking about the eglarufa, the neck, right? The neck, the animal. And it's talking about the zakenim there. V'anu v'amru yadeinu l'shafchas adam hazeh. They say, we do not spill the blood. So this is obviously yadayim shochas dam naki. The pasuk talked about people who spill blood. So what's the antidote? The zakenim, who are the ones who have to publicly announce, we didn't spill the blood. Right? They go to the place where the dead body is found, and this is what they announce. But Amru Chazan, the rabbis say, Chitala Adcha Shezikne based in Shovchei Dami. Do you think they really were murderers? That they have to say we didn't kill it? It's a famous question. So why did they say it? Ela Shelo Reinuhu. The point was we didn't see him below Patronu, below Leviyah. We have to say that we did not let him go without being accompanied. There is a rule that when a guest leaves, you should accompany them at least to the door. All right. And I always remember visited. I forgot what rabbi it was. Someone in Israel. Who actually, when I went out of the, this is probably when I was still not married, I don't remember what it was, but I always remember the thing that the rabbi walked me to the tachana, to the bus station, right? And this was kind of a long walk, down the stairs and along and up the road and whatever, it was a bit uphill, you know, everything usually was either uphill or downhill. And he walked me to the bus stop, and I was really quite taken aback to that, you know, he didn't have to do that. I clearly, you know, I mean, he obviously knew this, right? And I didn't realize at the time, this is something very special. It's a good habit to get into, at least to not to throw people out, but at least take them to the front door. You know, make sure they don't take the silver, as they say. Anyway, Hazakenim, that's a famous joke. Hazakenim, chova aleihem la'ayin. What do the Zakenim have to do? They have to check. Shalo yishofech shum damnoki. They're responsible for keeping that particular standard, right? There should be no innocent blood spilled. Ulechein, and therefore, choshav neged yodayim shochas damnoki zikneyamcha. That's why it refers to the Zakenim, the third one in the brach. So he doesn't see any progressions or anything. He sees it based purely on this pasuk, which again is very interesting. All right, it's all to do with the antidote to the pasuk, which talks about the negatives. We're gonna talk about the positives. Vita, neged leiv chorash, chorish machshavas oven. Who are those guys? How do you counteract those guys who are thinking these negative thoughts? Amar v'alpleta sofreim, the remnants of the sofrim. All right, who are the sofrim? Not the people who write the Sifrei Torah. But he says the tradition was that there were people who counted the letters of the Sefer Torah. Gemara in Kedushin talks about that. And that's why last week's parasha you had the gimel of... what gimel? Hisgalah, right? Hisgalah. The shaving of the Metzorah. And it's a big gimel. I don't know if you noticed that. And I'm pretty sure that the Gemara says that is the, isn't that the letter which is the middle letter of the Torah or something like that? They say there were 600,000 letters or something. or 300, Chabad said, there's 304,000 something and something, the real number. 600,000 kind of rounding it off a lot. By double. It's kind of really rounding it off. Yeah, it won't be a good account. There's something like that. I don't remember now. There's Gemara in Kiddush. I didn't look up, but it's in the first paragraph. It's worth having a look. So that's the Sofrim. The Sofrim actually were counting the letters of the Torah to make sure that every letter was preserved, what they call the Anshei Mesorah, which is still one of the most amazing miracles of Jewish survival. As the Prophet was still around telling the stories, the fact is that the Torah is still intact, right? You know, there's no book which you leave for 3,000 years like that, and it's still around.
They counted the letters to make sure the Sefer Torah was kosher.
And it was kosher, and they would have the tradition about every letter. And it becomes very significant because sometimes the letters can be divided into different words as well, different traditions. There's a tradition within the Gonsis that the Torah can be read as names of God from beginning to end. Right? How you do that, I don't know. But there is this tradition, and why does he say that? Because the last 8 psukim of the Torah were written by who? It says Moses was dead. All right. So who wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah? So argument. So some say it was Yeshua. All right. But of course that's a problem because we talk about Torah's Moshe. We don't know Torah's Moshe be Yeshua. The answer is Moshe wrote it. Rashi brings it. The Dema. Dema means the Ma'od. He was crying. He was writing his own obituary, which is kind of a sad thought anyway. Right. But the God says no. It doesn't mean that. He says Dema means he was writing it with the letters in a way that we don't read it. He read it as names of God. So when it says by Yomas Moshe, he didn't read it like that. He read it as, I don't know, whatever name of God he was thinking of at the time, that's the way he wrote it. So he wrote the last 8 psukim, but it didn't come out the way that we read it, because he wrote it on his madrega, which was way up there. All right? So therefore, it's a different madrega completely. And therefore, that's the Plato Sofrim. These are the guys who count the letters. They know all the different lettering systems in the Torah. And of course, now this is a big industry. All right, you know, you go to the Discovery seminars, that's what it's all about. Every seventh letter, every 70th letter, I don't know if you've been to these things, they're amazing. Every seventh possible, right? Every seventh letter from Brady, you go to this? You did it, right? You went to it. It's unbelievable what they found. They do it in sevens, they do it in 50s, right? They do 50s, they do it in you name it.
Whatever will work.
Whatever works. Yeah, except that my when I tried this on my group in London, my 10th grade in London, there was a boy who's now, by the way, in the Mir Yeshiva, has been 6 years in Mir, right? This is one of my students who came from the Reform home, and he was very, in those days, he was very skeptical about all of this. So he took the London Times and he did every 10th letter and came out with a prediction of a certain soccer team that was going to win the league that year because it fitted in. So his answer was, you know, Shkoyach, but I don't believe any of this. At a certain point, he had a kind of point. He made the point anyway. It was very funny. I remember that at the time. He showed me how it worked out. But yeah, obviously this is one level of Torah if you want to go into this. Plato Sofrim. So let's just finish this. Kamosha Kosov, as it says in Yeshayahu, Aye Sofer, Aye Shokel, Aye Sofer Es Hamigdolim. Right? Where is the sofer? Where is the shoker? Shoker means to weigh up. Where is the sofer samigdalin, the guy who counts the towers? What does that mean? Varmu chazad, the rabbis say, Shahaya sofrim shin halachas. The sofrim, they counted 300 halachas for migdal ha-pareach ba'avir. There's a certain concept of a tower flying in the air. All right? Not an aeroplane, but it was referring to a box which was carried through a place which was tomic. And there were 300 halachas which were connected to that particular subject. Or Dalad Meos, there were 400 halachas, Gemalin to Unas, which were about camels which were loaded up. Or Sveikas Betrefus, or doubts about Trefus. Dalad Meos, Gemalin to Unas, but Ben Hadad, to do with Ben Hadad. And again, this is all quotes from different sources, which I didn't even get a chance to look these all up. I've no idea. There must have been different halachas about these animals in terms of... I can think of one halacha, for instance, was the question if the animal is carrying a load past Hanukkah candles and is set on fire. Right? This famous Gemara. So what happens to it? Okay, who's liable for the expense? Because you had a mitzvah to put the Hanukkah candles outside, and yet you set fire to the guy's bundle of hay because on the back of the animal. So the whole question was whether the animal leaned into the store or not. There's a whole thing about that. So maybe that's what it's referring to. And what Ben Hadad is, I really don't know. I'm not sure. Upam achas nema Ben Hadar, kamosha maybe Reb something. I don't know who that is. The Sefer Emunas. He's quoting something here which I have no clue. So please help me out here. I don't know what he's referring to. I really don't know. But whatever it is, he says, that's the Plato Sofrehim. These are all the people who count the halachas. They count the letters. They count everything. They know it. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hem. All right? And this is very special. The Chaim Bebraisa, the Divrei Hayomim, Bein, Otzel, La Otzel, Libom, Choshim, Lispa, Osius, the Tagei HaTorah, right? And these are the people who count the letters and the crowns. This is the famous Gemara with Rabbi Akiva. Went up, Moshe went up and saw God writing the crown. He said, what do you need crowns on the Torah for, right? Famous Gemara. And the answer was, one day there's going to be a rabbi who will be able to explain the Rabbi Akiva. And then, of course, he saw Rabbi Akiva was murdered and cut into, sold, his flesh was sold in the marketplace. And he said, this is the reward for Torah. And, of course, that's when God said, that's something you'll never understand. So the problem has been with us a long time. Tzadik Varala, we just don't get it. We probably never will. But anyway, Haim, so all of that is Hefer Hasher Libom Chershim Ra. This is the opposite of what the Pasuk refers to, of the guys who are always digging for evil. Neged Raglayim Mamaharos Larut. I'm sorry, so that's the end of that piece. So if they are Chershim Ra, in other words, they're always counting evil upon evil, we have to counteract that with the people who are counting good upon good, the Sofrei. Alright? Not referring to Sofrim, scribes, but referring to people who are counting either the halachas or whatever, you know, sort of spiritual endeavor. What about the raglayim and maharos, the people running quickly, larutz lara, amavar geret tzedek, why the gerim? Shalosho atzmo milovo tachas kamfei shchina, didn't waste their time. Once they wanted to become involved with Judaism, they run. The ratzu lasas return kona. They run to do the will of God. Once they decide, they come, they're very impatient. And I understand that. In London, it takes 5 years to convert to Judaism. And they push them off again and again and again for 5 years. In Israel, it's 2 years. America's at a week. The problem with Israel was that Rav Goren gave conditional conversions. If you stayed in Israel, you were Jewish. If you left Israel, it was retroactively cancelled. And there was somebody who turned up in England with an Israeli conversion, Rav Goren, who the London-based did not count as Jewish because of that. And that was a hullabaloo. Wow. Because obviously the Jewish press picked up on his equivalent in London and said, how can you be Jewish 1 minute and not Jewish the next? Either you are or you're not. And Rav Goren's idea was very solid, because being in Israel, you're in a Jewish place, right? You leave Israel, who knows where you're going to be? But it produced an anomaly which was unbelievable. It was known as the Paula Cohen story. And it was never made into a movie, but I thought it was. At one point, I was convinced this was going to be a movie, because it really got out of hand, the whole thing. But it seems to have died down. You don't remember, it's a long time before your time.
It's just to say, though, that the rabbi was pushing him away, but that's okay, because that's what he's supposed to do.
That's what he's supposed to do.
No, but Janusz was saying that.
Oh, Janusz was saying that. Yeah. The rabbi. I once housed a convert, potential convert to Judaism in our home, and I really tried to talk him out of it a number of times, because I couldn't believe that this guy was wanting to do what he wanted to do. And the problem was that he was blonde and blue-eyed. Couldn't be more looking the way he looked as not being Jewish. It was remarkable. What happened in the end is interesting, that he converted, became president of his shul, has a daughter called Elisheva, which was, I think, named after our daughter. It was very nice. And Baruch Hashem, he's really a frum guy. I met him a number of years ago. He really is a special guy. And the Beis Din was right. Normally they were very
not pious,
his hair's gone. In the meantime, he's gone the way of all of us, most of us, not all of us, some of us. So he doesn't have the hair anymore. Let's just finish this piece. So again, the negative. So that's the Geirah Hatzedek. They run not to do evil, but they run to do good. The negative Yafir Kazovim Eit Shaken. The final thing about these guys who are telling false evidence. Omar. The rest of us who are not in those particular groupings should not do any bad thing, right? We shouldn't speak falsely, whatever. We ask God's mercy to control, to overcome the anger against us. Control the anger and conquer it. And I think what we're going to do, because we're already looking at, I don't know whether we're looking at Mario. I'm just looking at the time, and we're already out of time. What we'll do, we'll come back to this. I was kind of adventurous trying to fit this in. What we'll do is we'll put, in fact, if you mark the place, then I can rely on you next week to tell us where we got up to. Unbelievable, the way that he sees it. Again, is it going from this way tzaddikim down to aleinu. I don't think he sees it like that. He just sees it as a, maybe, I don't know, I'm trying in my mind's eye how to picture this. Is this a kind of circle? Is it on every edge of the circle there are, and the whole cake is made
up and down. It's up and down.
I think
you know what I'm saying? I'm seeing it as a whole. I'm not seeing it as stages. Everyone has their place.
He may be doing it connected to the pasuk.
And just connected to the pasuk.
You know, whatever word Shlomo Melech wrote, maybe that's on one level, and that's what he does, it
right.
Connected to the pasuk.
Right. But there's clearly no kind of hierarchy, which normally speaking, when you see this bracha,
the only hierarchy is
that
Aleinu comes last,
and then Aleinu comes last. That's the rest, the plebs, everybody else. All right, we'll leave it at that. I this is inspiration. It's inspiration. All right, speaking to, are we learning next week? Yes, please keep the hand up. Next Monday, Erev Pesach, get out of the cleaning.
I'm going away for Yantif, so
Well, all right. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue. Okay, thank you.
Yes, okay.